Hi guys, welcome to the Hot Literati. The Hot Literati is a collective of hot, cool, well-read people. My name is Halo, and I'm so happy that you're here. So today, I kind of have a topic. I just want to waffle around after having like the strangest weekend. And I've been getting like a lot of, I don't even want to say positive feedback, just a lot of like wonderful messages, comments, blurbs on the podcast, and how you guys like really like this form and really relate to a lot of the stuff, which, you know, early 20s womanhood is really something. So I'm glad that we're all able to kind of connect through this lens of like literature and life and trying to just understand through art mimics life, like what we're going through and what it means to be like a person at this age, at this point in time. So thank you, like I really appreciate that. And so today I want to talk a little bit about like desire and like dating, yes, but desire more so, because it's like, I mean, we've talked a lot about this flavor of like feminine dissociation in a lot of episodes, and how as a woman, as a young woman, as a girl, you're taught to kind of alienate yourself from your desires and from your own pursuit of like personhood and agency. And I'm reminded of this quote in My Mother, Myself, The Daughter's Search for Identity by Nancy Friday, where she writes something like, boys are like masculinized, but girls are never taught to be feminine. Which I don't know how much I necessarily agree or disagree with that statement, but I think it is interesting that like there are so many actionable ways for like boyhood or like manhood to be like modeled in ways that have like real agency, like pursuits, like career interests, things like that. And then a lot of the time femininity is kind of like defined by its relationship or other things relationship to it. So for example, like the quintessential male gaze, like femininity is so often defined by the male gaze and defined by being desirable. And I'm sure we all have memories of being like a girl and being told, oh, like this is what boys like, or this is how you like perform girl in a way that's like good by definition of like teacher, parent, crushes, things like that. So I think it is interesting that like femininity and girlhood is never really defined in this way that's like clear for you to model. It's always more like a representation of something than like doing the thing itself. And I think at 23 I've arrived at this place where it's like I'm just confused, I guess. Like, I was a really awkward kid. I was super geeky, extremely, extremely quiet. And I didn't really come into myself, quote unquote, until I was 17 and I was doing pageants. And I fully had, like, an eating disorder. So it wasn't, like, a confident, like, swan story. I was just all of a sudden, like, externally validated a lot after winning, like, a pageant. And all of a sudden, I was considered desirable by an institution, by like people I went to school with, and I didn't really know what to do with all that attention. I felt like, I've talked about it a lot in different episodes, I think, I felt as if that in my freshman year of college when I was doing all of this, I like played into a character of like confident, like cool, like hyper feminine. And the rest of my college experience, I was in a relationship, so I feel like I played into, like, good girlfriend, very, like, maternal. I joke and say that I'm, like, a retired trad wife, because I did have, like, a few months of living with my boyfriend and, like, very much, like, soft life, even though I was, like, freelancing and writing. But I much prefer, like, the autonomy and the agency that I have now on my own. But that being said, like, I feel like a lot of the identities I've had for the past, from like adolescence to now, were like representations instead of real identities. And I think desire is this question I'm like really floating around, because I think a lot of the identities that I had before were contingent on being desired, whether it was by like men, whether it was by like, you know, pageant fans is like a representation of like good womanhood and girlhood. And even now, as someone who exists on the internet, I think there is this other really interesting question of desire, or even as an artist, like in the art world, I think there's this question of like institutional desire. For example, like as an artist, as a writer, and I'm also in a band, and as someone who's just like doing art that exists on the internet and like content that exists on the internet as well, there's this question of wanting institutions to desire your work so that they can like bankroll it in some way. You know, even having a podcast, like wanting institutions to identify it so that they can give you like brand deals and give you like money. And I think it's super interesting. You see the same exact disparities happening in that world that you do in like dating and politics of desirability in a really interpersonal way like that. Like the same things play out in terms of race, in terms of gender. Like I was at this event the other day where someone was talking about this creator on TikTok, I think, that talks about classic literature, but like why people should read it. And I was thinking like, we've been doing that for years, but you know, obviously I'm a woman of color and then we're a predominantly like women focused community. So I think it's just funny because there's this question of desire, like small scale, literal, like person to person. And then this question of desire in a very like mass way where someone I saw for a bit who's an artist taught me about like the funnel of art worth nothing to art worth nothing. It's like this hourglass shaped funnel where when you start making art, it's literally worth nothing because it doesn't have like monetary value in the eyes of the public. And then if you can acquire like more attention, more like desire in this sense, it can be worth more and more until you reach like the top of the funnel and it's like really expensive and it's in like people's warehouses. And then you finally reach like the top of the funnel where it's open, it's in museums, it belongs to the public domain again, and it's worth nothing once more, but now it's like priceless in the sense of like value instead of priceless in the sense of there being a lack thereof. And as I'm saying that out loud, I guess I realize there's this like weird sort of replication of that in like an interpersonal sense, I guess. And maybe this is just me like being dramatic on a Sunday, but I kind of feel like I, as a kid, was at the bottom of the funnel. Like, you know, I was in a high school in Kansas. Like, I literally did not speak. I spoke to like 5 people a day and no one like paid attention to me. Granted, I didn't really give them a reason to, but I feel like I was at the bottom of the funnel. And now just being a little older, a little more mature, caring like a bit less, and I guess like having come into myself more, I guess I feel like day to day I do have more experiences of desire. It's also more prevalent in somewhere like New York that's A, like diverse, and B, like literally having more foot traffic. You run into people more and people interact with you more. And yeah, I think like in New York, male attention is distributed in really like crazy ways. And you see that in like nights out even. Like I think I was walking home the other day and you can count, like, you know, as a woman, if you're walking anywhere, especially on a night out, oh my goodness, you know that you're going to get like spoken to and engaged with. And I don't think those ways are always bad. I think that it can be done like really respectfully. So I'm not saying like don't do it, but I'm just saying it's like, I guess like more quantifiable and like measurable in a sense. But I don't know if it's my personal background with like pageantry and having been like crowned a winner of some sort of performance of like womanhood and like girlhood, or if it's like my experience just existing online and seeing like comments on myself, my identity, my like literal appearance, my voice like reflected back at me. I feel like in a way in adolescence I was at the bottom of the funnel and I felt very like empty in a very insecure way, and now at the like, I get maybe like the other end of the funnel, I feel very empty again in a way that's just like confused, where I feel like I've had this loss of identity and I don't really understand who I am, because I feel like in a lot of ways my identity is still defined in relationship to other people. But like, isn't it always, I guess? I've written about this a bit on our blog, but I also feel like there's this weird loss of identity that always happens with desire. Like there's so many instances where someone, I'll be like engaging with someone and they'll express like desire towards me in a romantic way, and me not having like interpreted the relationship like that at all, it's like so, it's such a surreal experience, because it just makes you like reorient your relationship to the scenario, your relationship to that person, your relationship to yourself and how you were presenting in that moment. And I think another thing that's really easy to do as a woman, because we're taught from a young age that we should be pursuing like desirability, I think it's so easy to just like go along with things once someone expresses like desire towards you, because you feel like validated in your performance of being like a woman. And that's something that, to be honest, I'm working at this point in my life, is when the scenario is reoriented by someone else like that, finding the space and the attunement to myself to be able to take a second and think like, oh, like, if this is what this is, then how do I feel about it? Like, how do I want to move forward? And I think a really good example of this question reflected in the literature is, again, like Nin. We read A Spy in the House of Love for book club a couple books ago, and we're reading The Trial by Kafka this month. We literally just started, so this would be the ideal time to sign up. If you wait a little bit, you'll have some catching up to do. But A Spy in the House of Love ended at this like reckoning with identity and womanhood, and it ended with her listening to like, I can't remember if it was Bach or some other composer, and just like sobbing. So you get kind of the collapse, like the loss of a sense of self when she realizes that she doesn't like being defined in relationship to desire of her. But then you don't get anything after that. We don't get like steps on how to rebuild our identity and who we are outside of other people's conceptions of us. And I mean, I don't know if this is reflected in experiences outside of womanhood. Like, obviously, that's something I'm not privy to. So I'm sure like any identity is going to have like these tensions and be really fraught. But I think like womanhood is such a strange one, because it's so heavily defined by like yourself as the product and the consumption of you. So I know like, like last year, for example, I think I was all about like trying to find agency and like writing about people I was dating to get like my perspective of them, even though I think a lot of it ended up being like self-reflective. And I think I also had a phase of just literally wanting to be alone, because it was so much easier to try to stay like rooted in identity when it was just like me and like art and like self-reflection. But now, like, I realized the other day that I'm really bad at parallel play. Like, I'm really engaged and I'm really intense when I'm with people, small groups. But when I'm like trying to do an activity with someone else, like, I'm not good at that, because I feel like my identity is literally fragmented. I feel like half of my conscience is with like the other person in the room, if that makes any sense. So I don't know. I don't know if this is like a normal issue, but it's this question that I'm really excited to explore in like the mother-daughter psych book that I mentioned earlier that I'm still reading in hopefully book club, because I know like Kafka was really insecure, and I think The Trial in a weird way will be an interesting counter to A Spy in the House of Love, because they both really grapple with this question of guilt, I think. And, you know, I'm excited to explore this question in the next phase of my life, because that's the ultimate exploration of anything, is what it means, the implications that it has for who you are and how you think and how you act moving forward. So I don't know. I guess I'm going to really be thinking about desire and what I want and how I know that I want it moving forward. And I don't know if I should even be considering desire and how it functions. Is this like thing outside of myself and toward me? But I'm really curious to hear what you all think about this. And yeah, thank you for listening as always. Thank you for contributing through like comments and messages, because I do read them all, and you all amaze me every single day, because you're all like so insightful and wonderful. And yeah, I hope you all have a lovely day. Thanks so much.